Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Monday, January 25th, 2021. There, I said it. For the last two broadcasts, I have said 2020. It's hard to reorient oneself and say the new year, and I need to start doing that. Boy, I'm telling you, here in Florissant, it is raining, as we say, cats and dogs, and I'm wondering when we need to build the ark. It's one of those heavy, heavy downpour rain days. This morning on The Cross in the Desert, I'm going to talk about the subject of religious freedom. Since I've been working hard being a voice for Iranians, I've always talked about the treatment of Christians in Iran, the secret underground house church movement, and the peril, the suffering that Christians in Iran go through because they have converted from Islam to Christianity. And obviously, according to Open Doors' worldwide watch list, Iran is number 8 on that list, meaning it's a very dangerous place to be a Christian. However, I want to share with you today, in the open for the first few minutes, I want to share with you a topic that I need to be talking more about on my broadcast. And it is the persecution and the silencing of Christians here in the United States of America. For a long time, the left, the radical left, the proponents of political correctness have been sharpening their weapons to silence the church here in America, to discriminate against them simply because of political correctness. Now, here recently during the pandemic, governments have been using their overreach and extremity down churches and to prohibit the assembling together of Christians in churches, and they've said it's only to stop the spread of the virus, but in many cases, even when Christians have complied, they still want to shut us down. And so what I want to speak to us this morning on The Cross in the Desert, while I certainly focus in on the persecution of Christians in Iran, in China, and other parts of the world, rightly so, because there is very much evil being practiced there. There is not only discrimination, but imprisonment. Yet, this morning, I want to awaken us to what is happening here in the United States. And in order to do that, I have an interview here with the author Rod Dreher from his book, Live Not by Lies. I'm really not aware too much of this author's writings. He's someone I've just recently come to know. But in his book, he is making the case that many people that have migrated from places like Romania, places like Russia and other places in the world, and have come here to live in the United States, are very concerned about what they're seeing and the way Christians are being treated here. And they're very afraid of a totalitarianism type of state that is assembling here. And this is the subject of the book Live Not by Lies by Rob Dreher. Recently, I finished my newest book, Before the Dawn Awakens, The Search for Malaysia Flight 370. And through a set of circumstances, my next book project is going to be about religious persecution and the denial of First Amendment rights of Christians here in the United States. And it's set during the pandemic, which we're all going through. And the name of the book is going to be Silenced, Shut Up or Die. And it's the story of a congregation of Christians, a Christian church in Seattle. Now, I haven't worked through all of the details of the storyline, but I just feel that it's important for me as an author who stands up and speaks out for Iranians to now transition in this newest book about what's happening right here in the United States. And I'm going to do with some research, and I've got a good storyline going, and I want to reveal all that to you. I want it to be a surprise. And if all goes well, this is a book that probably will be out in the summer. But I think it's so important that we as Christians are educated about our First Amendment rights being denied right here where we live, in the land of the free and the home of the brave. So we need a context to help us understand that. There have been books written about it, like David Horowitz's The Dark Agenda, Erwin Lutzer's new books, We Will Not Be Silenced. I want us to get a context for what is going on here. Because so often we talk about the persecuted church in the Middle East, but right here where we live has become a very, very serious target for the persecution of Christians. Now, admittedly, we're not being hauled off to prison, but that could come very soon. We need to really wake up and understand what's going on. So I want to help us with educating us. And this is a book by Rod Dreher and an interview with CBN on his latest project, his publication, Live Not by Lies. Let's listen.
Capitol Hill riots, impeachment, and big tech censorship. Is this the new norm for American politics? How can Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and other government leaders bring about national unity? Our next guest says we're living in what he calls a Father Kolakovic moment. Here to explain and provide some insights is American conservative senior editor Rod Dreher. His latest book is Live Not by Lies, a manual for a Christian dissident. Rod, please explain this Father Kolakovic moment. I know you mentioned it in your book. What is it? Why do you think it's happening here in America?
Right. Well, Father Tomislav Kolakovic was a Croatian priest in the 1940s doing anti-Nazi underground work in Zagreb. He got a tip that the Gestapo was coming for him, so he escaped the country and went and hid out in neighboring Slovakia, his mother's homeland. When he arrived there in 1943, he began to teach the Catholic University. He told his students, the good news is the Germans are going to lose this war. The bad news is the communists are going to be ruling this country when the war is over. The first thing they're going to do is come after the church. We have got to be ready for it. So what Father Kolakovic did was prepare prayer groups of students who would come together to pray, to study scripture, but also to study the signs of the times and to figure out how to prepare for coming persecution. Father Kolakovic's prayer group spread throughout the country very quickly. Every town of any size had one. Now, his bishops told him, Father, you're being alarmist. You're scaring people. It will never happen. But Father Kolakovic knew the communist mindset, and he knew what was going to happen when they took power. Sure enough, Gary, as soon as the Iron Curtain came down in that country, the communists came after the church with a stern, horrible persecution. The groups that Father Kolakovic set up were the backbone of the underground church for the next 40 years. I firmly believe that we are in a similar moment here in America now. Christians of all kinds, Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, have got to take advantage of this moment of liberty we have to get our networks in place to prepare for persecution.
Yes, a good friend of mine actually was in Prague, is from Prague, and was there in 1968 as a child when those tanks moved in. So big tech, free speech. Is this just a momentary blip on the radar screen, Rod, or do you expect this will get worse?
Oh, no, this is definitely going to get worse. And my book, Live Not by Lies, I talk about this as the beginning of soft totalitarianism. Soft totalitarianism because it's not going to have gulags and secret police, the things that the Soviets had. Rather, this is something that's going to be done mostly by big tech, limiting access to the economy and keeping it so that only those who conform with what the regime wants can participate in the economy. We're already seeing it happen now in China with the social credit system there, which only lets people who conform to what the government wants have access, full access to the economy and travel, good jobs, universities, et cetera. I think we are going to see an informal version of that happen right here in America. And the hammer is going to come down on conservatives and traditional Christians.
So what do you think will happen in the days ahead with the Joe Biden presidency? Now, you mentioned soft totalitarianism. Are we advancing down that road under Joe? What do you expect?
Yeah, we absolutely are. Joe Biden has already talked about how he's going to pass domestic terrorism legislation. We're going to see people designated as terrorists, people who have no interest in terrorism at all, who do not support violence, but who simply question the way things are done in this country, and they do so from the right. I believe that Christians, conservative Christians, are going to be targeted too, and there will be no discrimination between us peaceful conservative Christians and those who want violence. But here's an important point too, Gary. It's not simply going to come from the government and may not mostly come from the government. It's going to come from big business and big tech who will be using their freedom in our free market society to marginalize and oppress deplorables, which include political conservatives and religious conservatives.
Well, we've even seen some of that already with the COVID-19 pandemic. If you are against wearing a mask, you become ostracized by big tech. They'll even shut you down. So how does the pandemic play into all of this?
Well, what the pandemic has done, and I should say that I believe the pandemic is real, but what the pandemic has done is accustomed us to being controlled. It has put us in a position and a mindset of fear and control, and where we can be open to being told what to do by the government. And I think that this has been a dry run, if you will, for greater control. And I think that insofar as Christians have not used this time, this pandemic time, to prepare ourselves for the long run, for what it would mean to be faithful under a long period of oppression, then we have wasted our time. There's no more time to waste.
Well, more on that then, Rod, as we wrap this up. Then how should conservatives and Christians, Catholics, evangelicals in this country, respond to all this? What do we need to do?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is root ourselves as firmly as possible in our faith and in community. I was talking last night to an ex-military intelligence man, a Christian, who said that no Christian should believe that anything we say online or electronically mediated is safe. It will be stored somewhere. It sounds paranoid, but it's not paranoid. This is in my book, Live Not by Lies. What we have to do most of all, though, is prepare to suffer. We in the American church know nothing about suffering. We've had it good for a long time. The people who grew up under communism, I talked to in my book, Live Not by Lies, they know what it's like to suffer for the faith. We have to start learning from their experience and be prepared to be steadfast and to suffer without hating our enemy.
Yes, I've met with many suffering Christians around the world, persecuted for the faith. And you know what? We can learn a lot from them. I agree, Rod. Thank you so much for that. You're author of Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents. Rod Dreher, thank you again for being with us.
Thank you, Gary.
Book may be one of the most important books we can read in the new year, because this is from a man who has interviewed many, many immigrants from these communist-controlled countries who now live here, who have alarmed him and alerted him to what they see happening right here. And they say, this is how communism got the stronghold and the foothold in the door in the country that I've lived. And we need to listen to their insight and to their wisdom. My Iranian friends, when they look all around and they see the rioting, they see the discrimination, they see big tech, they say, this reminds me of when my family used to live in Iran before the mullahs took over. And these are people we need to pay attention to that can see the times and discern the times for us. And some very excellent points by Rod Dreher there. He used the term soft totalitarianism because it's not the hardcore with the secret police and the arrests, although I believe that's where it's going. He's simply saying that big tech companies will use your information, jobs and businesses will use what you say online and say, look, you need to behave better in the workplace or you're going to be fired. If you're going to post this up on social media, there are people that work here that are offended by what you say. And so this is the type of soft totalitarianism that the author is talking about. It wakes us up to the fact that although we don't live in China, we have a constitution here. We have First Amendment rights that are under siege every day, and we're fighting to keep them, of course, but we have them. So we don't have a tyranny yet. But we have to prepare, I think, for suffering, as Rod Dreher says, because this is only going to progressively get worse. And this is one of the reasons I'm going to take the insight of people like him and write my new book. And even though it's fictional in one sense, it's very honest about what's happening in our culture right now. And so I really look forward to writing this book because I want to educate us as an author to what is happening in our country and the persecution and the discrimination that is taking place on small levels, which is growing now to big levels. If they can censor a conservative president because they don't like his political views, what do you think they're going to do to you and me? And if it hasn't already happened, it will happen on a larger scale. And so I wanted us to be educated in the very beginning of this program so that you can know what's coming on the horizon. And many of us see the trend already. And we don't want to be alarmist. We don't want to put people under fear and paranoia. That's not the purpose. But we need to prepare. And we need to organize, and we need to be aware of what's happening and be ready to respond appropriate way. Well, for the remainder of the program this morning, I want to focus in on a dear friend of mine. And if you've listened to my broadcast in the past or you've looked at my postings on Facebook, you know all about her. She actually has her own prayer page, Pray for Mary Mohammadi. It was a group that my friend Scott Payne and I organized, almost a year ago when Mary was in prison. But I want to talk to us this morning about Mary Mohammadi and the latest developments in her life. This is a young girl who is very zealous and very courageous. She's unafraid to speak up for what she believes to be the truth. She lives in Iran. And so you know from the context already what the Iranian government, what the Iranian regime thinks about those people who convert from Islam to Christianity. Now, in the case of Mary Mohammadi, she never was a practicing Muslim. But because she was raised in a family with the Muslim religion attached to her name, she was considered by the government to be a practicing Muslim. Well, through many circumstances back in 2017, and through study of her own, she did a lot of online studying and talking to other people, Mary decided, I no longer want to be identified with the Islamic faith. Now, if she lived right here in the United States, there would be no problem whatsoever if one day Mary woke up and said, you know what, I'm not a practicing Muslim, but I don't like the connotation of Islam in my family. I'm just, you know, I'm going to believe something else. Now, there wouldn't be a problem, but in Iran, that is all attached to your file, to your birth certificate, and for you to even entertain the idea of converting can cost you your life. In the Hadith, Muhammad is quoted as saying, if any man change his religion, kill him. In Iran, there is a process that goes on. Slowly but surely, discrimination begins to creep if in one of the circumstances, discrimination becomes the tool. In other circumstances, if you're radical, if you're evangelizing, you can be imprisoned and you can be put to death. In the case of Mary, in 2017, my dear friend Mary Mohammadi, when she became a Muslim, she was not a Christian. When she converted from Islam to Christianity, she was not the kind of person that did it quietly. Because Mary cares about other people, and she understands the persecution, the humiliation, the discrimination of other Iranians who have converted as well. And she was never the person that could just keep silent. I've written about her in my book, Shout Freedom. I've created a podcast called I Will Not Be Silent in Iran. Mary has always been outspoken. And so when she joined the house church movement, she understood the reality of what could happen to her. And it did. Shortly after she became a Christian, she was arrested and put in Evin prison. Now, thankfully, in this circumstance, she was not physically abused or sexually molested. Thankful for that. But in her story, they did everything they could to humiliate her while she was in prison and tried to force her to reconvert to Islam. And of course, she said no. And then they began to talk down to her. What a cheap whore she was. That you're just interested in becoming a Christian so you can meet a lot of boys and go to bed with them. And they went on to humiliate her. And they did this for about 6 months until she was finally released. And on her way out, one of the prison officials, a guard or someone, says to her, "You better watch yourself, because if you come back to this prison, you'll never get out." And they warned her and they threatened her. Well, now Mary, again, her name at that time was Fatima. She's since changed it to Mary. She decided, "I cannot keep silent about my faith. There are people suffering. There are religious groups. There's no freedom in Iran. And I won't let it just stay that way. I've got to speak up." Mary, from the very beginning, had a calling to be a voice for her people. So she staged a sit-in outside of Evin prison. And one of the signs she had outside of Evin prison was about the Christian church. And it was such a personal thing for Mary. And she was doing this to protect the rights of Christians. And on the sign, there was the hashtag, "Not violence against Christians in Iran, and church is the right of Christians." Now, let me explain this to you. In Iran, there is the above-ground church, the Armenian church. These are Iranians that have never been Muslims. They are Christians. And they suffer, too. The state controls their activities. They're not allowed to preach to Muslims. They're not allowed to do certain things during their service. They're monitored by the government all the time. And Mary knows about that. And what Mary was saying, church is the right of Christians, she's saying, "I don't believe that any Iranian has to meet secretly. They should have the right, as the Armenians, to have an above-the-ground church, and they have that right. The church is the right of Christians." Well, what Mary did after she got out of prison is also she organized an Instagram site, and I would help her. She would publish stories on this site, and she would send them to me to correct the English. She would ask me to send videos of church worship services. And this site on Instagram was all about speaking up for religious freedom and for freedom in general among human rights activists in Iran. And she was very, very diligent on this site. And then I decided, you know, I need to tell her story. And so in our book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran, my friend Manush and I featured a story about Mary called Mary Mohammadi, or at that time Fatima, a fearless warrior for Christ in Iran. And in this story, it was all about Mary, at that time called Fatima, who had this Instagram site, who was doing everything she could to bring attention to the discrimination and persecution of Christians in Iran. We published the article, and we kept in contact, and then things began to radically change. I wouldn't hear as much from Mary anymore. And then the next thing I heard about Mary was that she was on a bus one day, and she wasn't wearing her hijab properly. And there was another Iranian woman, a very strong government person, who assaulted her, who got very angry at her hijab not being worn properly. Well, the case went to a court, and Mary stood up and said, "I was assaulted. I wasn't bothering her." Well, guess what? Of course, the court sided with the woman. "You're wearing improper hijab." And she was given a file, and she was the one that was persecuted, even though she had been assaulted. Well, not long after that, because remember, they have a file on Mary in Iran. They know that she converted. They denied her access to the university. They basically said, "No, you can't attend school here. You can't be a student here." And the reason was, of course, because of Mary's newfound religious beliefs. And so Mary had very little things to do in Iran for a while. She couldn't go to university. She was being discriminated against. At that time, all she could do was work as an instructor in gymnastics. Now, I need to explain something to you there. Eventually, she's going to also be banned from employment because she's a Christian. Well, there was a series of circumstances in November of 2019 with the rising prices in gas that caused Iranians to come out to the streets, and there were protests. I hadn't heard from Mary in a while, didn't know exactly what was happening. And then, of course, the next event was Trump ordering the death of General Soleimani. Well, Iranians were so excited about that, but again, the government was angry, these protests, and now the United States, the President Trump kills our top general. It was a few days after that that the Ukrainian jetliner carrying many Iranians was shot down by the government. They claimed it was an accident. So there were protests about the downing of this airliner, and one of those protesters was our dear friend, Mary Mohammadi. And I remember a few days after the protest in Freedom Square that there was an item, a news item on the internet, that Mary had been arrested. And I was just shocked. I knew this was not going to go well with her with everything that was happening in Iran. And so I put up a page asking us to pray for Mary. I would talk about her story day and night. It wasn't more than a month after she was arrested that I was able to regain contact with her again on Telegram, and she shared with me exactly what happened. She had been in Qarchak prison, a very dirty prison, very violent prison, and she had been arrested because of the protest, and she claims she was just there, but they arrested her anyway. But they beat her when they arrested her. They made her sit outside because they wanted information from her, and she didn't give it to them, and she sat out in the cold. And she spent about a month in prison until her family was able to raise the bail money, and she was released, was busy just putting her story together, which is in my book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. And then Mary disappeared. And I understood she was under a lot of persecution. Her story is basically that she has to go back to prison this coming April and serve 3 months of a suspended sentence from last year because of the virus. She will be publicly lashed 10 times. So the future for Mary is very dark and dismal. In just a couple of months, In fact, April 21st, she will be serving a three-month suspended prison sentence in Qarchak prison for allegedly being part of the protest against the downing of the Ukrainian jetliner back in January of 2020. But that's not all. Just recently, there was a story up on Article 18 about Mary Mohammadi. And again, she was arrested for improper hijab. And since she's been out of prison, she has been denied the right to employment. Just this past January 18th, the morality police arrested her, told her her trousers were too tight, her headscarf was not correctly adjusted, she's not wearing her clothes right. Now, you know her prison time a few years ago. You know her prison time just last year in Korchak prison. And in this article, by Article 18, Mary talked about she's been unable to return to work as a gymnastics instructor since her release from prison last February because her employer is being pressured, of course, by the government. And they're telling her, you know, if you don't do something about this girl, we're going to take your child away from you. And so what Mary says about everything that's happening to her, she says, life here is an imprisonment. Iran is one big prison. Everything is affected when you take a stand for religious freedom. When you convert, she says, your work, your income, your social status, your identity, your mental health, your satisfaction with yourself, your life, your place in society, your independence. And as a woman, it's even harder to remain patient and endure in a society so opposed to women and femininity through crying out for them both. So I'm telling you Mary's story today and what is going on in her life so that we can be busy being her voice and speaking out for her and praying for her. There are very difficult, hard times for our dear, fearless warrior for Christ in Iran. Like I mentioned, just in a couple of months, she will have to go back to prison. The prisons in Iran are affected by the virus. And you know the supreme leader has denied access to the vaccine for any Iranians. He has said no. And so it's very difficult for Iranians struggling to survive under this pandemic with no access to a life-saving vaccine. And then my dear friend has to go to prison in April of this year and serve a 3-month suspended sentence. And the virus is rampant in a lot of these prisons. And so it's going to be a very big danger for her health. I have her page, Pray for Mary Mohammadi. Pray for Mary Mohammadi. You can get a link to it from my Facebook page. And I'll be, of course, sharing with you time and time again about what's happening. But Mary is a very strong woman. She has faced some serious consequences for the last 3 years or more since becoming a Christian. And it has taken a toll on her physically and mentally, as she said in this article. We need to be busy supporting her and praying for her. Her story is an amazing story. I elaborate a lot more on in my book, Shout Freedom. The story is also up on the site, Pray for Mary Mohammadi. If you get a chance and you haven't become a member of this group, please come. I will approve you and read the articles about Mary. I have so much respect for this woman who is enduring great hardship for being a Christian and a human rights activist in Iran. And we need to support her with our voices and with our prayers. I want to take a minute right now and play a song that's so appropriate for my dear friend. It's by Michael W. Smith. It's entitled Sovereign Over Us. Let's listen.
There is strength within the sorrow. There is beauty in our tears. And you meet us in our mourning with a love that casts out fear. You are working in our waiting. you're sanctifying us. When beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. You are wisdom unimagined. Could understand your ways, reigning high above the heavens, reaching down in endless grace. You're the lifter of the lowly, compassionate and surround, and you uphold me, and your promises are my delight. Your plans still prosper.
What a beautiful promise from God's word that he causes everything to work together for our good, To those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, he is sovereign over us. I remember for the longest time when I didn't hear from Mary that I was just praying this song over her life. I remember playing this and sharing it with my friends on Facebook. And then it was February 27th that I first heard from her again. And it was one of the happiest days of my life. So there is a page you can go to, and I highly recommend that you go to Pray for Mary Mohammadi. There's a link to it on my page. You can put it in your search on Facebook, and it will come right to you. And this is a great place to keep updated about her situation, as well as a place to gather with other Christians and pray for her. This morning, we've been talking about religious freedom. And we've been talking about religious freedom under attack and assault here in the United States, in the American church. And, of course, we have the obvious example of the house church in Iran and how they're treated. But this is a time to remember the song we just heard. God is sovereign over us, which means this, that although our suffering is in no way at the same level as maybe Mary's in Iran and other people, it can get that way if we don't stand up and fight for our freedoms every day. And under this new administration, is the Biden administration going to reach out to the Christian community like Trump did? He was a strong advocate for religious freedom. He still would be if he was president today. We don't probably see that type of strength in the Biden administration. We'll have to wait and see. But there needs to be that voice for Christians. Trump was a strong voice for the Iranians, for the American Christians. We'll just have to wait and see. But these are perilous times. And I hope that you will take this program today that you've listened to and you will share it on your page. Share it with your friends. And do all that you can to stand up for religious freedom. That's what my new book is going to be all about. And I'm very excited to get started on that soon. And to be able to educate us about the state of the church here in the USA and what we can expect in the future. Now, it's going to be a novel, but it's going to be based on a lot of real lifetime stories of Christians who have been discriminated against and persecuted for their faith right here in the USA. It has been a pleasure this morning to talk to you about this topic. And just remember, this is a new year. We don't know what's going to happen, but we need to be in prayer. We need to be alert. And so let us spend that time together, supporting each other, praying for each other, and being alert and to be wise about the time that we live in, because our freedoms are being attacked. Our freedoms are being chipped away from us day by day. We need to stand up for them. We need to be a voice for those that are suffering, of course, in other countries, but our country is also under attack. So I thank you so much for spending time with me this morning. Please share this story with your Facebook friends. Please support and pray for Mary, and I will keep us updated, and I will see you again on Thursday on the Cross in the Desert. Have a great week.